Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's do this morning. We got a few minutes. Let's go ahead and get back into the gift of righteousness. Last week, we taught about spirit, soul, body, and actually, if you're not signed up for Flock Note, please do. And you can just text Life in Christ to 84576. You can sign up for Flock Note and you can choose to receive the email that we send out. We send out maybe two or three a week. Usually the first one in the week is just general announcements. It's basically our scrolling announcements, just so you can, you know, take care of your calendar, whatever you got to do. You know what's coming up. We like to do that. But then every Wednesday, it's usually Wednesday, I think once or twice I might have gone on Thursday and accidentally got late, got busy, whatever I did, didn't manage my time well, whatever it is. But Wednesdays I'll send out an email which is an overview of the service on Sunday. And I'll give you a good section of my notes as well to help in your study on righteousness. For any truth to be established in your life, you're going to have to study it. Amen. So, you know, sometimes people have this mentality, well, I made it to church, so I did my duty. That's not how Christianity works, okay? That is an important part. It's a great portion. You should make every effort to not forsake the gathering of yourselves together and be a part of the fellowship of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit in a corporate setting. But you're going to have your time with the Lord. And sometimes people struggle with that because they're like, I don't know what to do, all of these different things. There is so much that we have made available on the website for you to be able to take advantage of if you want to know more and study more, all of those things. I want to say there's 300 plus hours of teaching on the website or the YouTube channel. You can go to either place and get more and more information. And what I mean by that is instruction from the Word of God. Now, I would tell you that my preaching is perfect and I never make a mistake, but I want to go to heaven when I leave earth, so I'm not going to say that. All right? So, but we do emphasize this. We emphasize that you take everything back to the Word and look at it. I went to Rhema Bible Training College and graduated in 1999. And one of the things that was constantly fed to us in any good Bible college, they'll do this. They'll tell you to take it back to the Word, take it back to the Word, take it back to the Word. Now, you have to be careful with Bible colleges because there are some people that go to Bible college and they don't even crack their Bible. And I'm not joking. It's not like just a statement to try to shock you. Literally, all they do is read commentaries. I'm not against commentaries, but unless, how many know this? I'll put it to you this way. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. How many think God knew what he was saying? Okay, so if you're reading through commentaries or whatever and you're like, I'm not sure about that, go back to the Word. Run references, find out where things are. Really, we live in a day and age where there's no excuse. There is no excuse. We should know the Word better than any other generation. We've got apps, you don't even have to buy a Bible anymore. If you bought a phone, you bought a Bible. Okay, so there is information and instruction and scriptural things available at our fingertips everywhere. It is no longer, I'll share this kind of testimony with you just to give you an example of it. You know, we're doing some of the social media stuff to increase influence. We had another salvation on the salvation video I did. Now watch this. This is what's wild, okay? I mean, praise God for it, right? But this is what's wild. This is the generation we live in. While I was sleeping, I preached the gospel over social media, and somebody gave their heart to the Lord, and I woke up and read it 7 hours later. So there is availability everywhere to be fed. Now, I'm not saying you should feed on everything that's out there. I'm saying go to our website, go to the YouTube channel. I'm not saying we're perfect, but I know we're in good company, amen? And so just keep that in mind, keep growing. But sign up for Flock Note. It'll help you. It's one of the main ways we communicate. This last week, it was Gift of Righteousness Part 3, and then I did Part 3A. And basically, I have the ability to record video and stuff like that, teaching in my office. And so I did a video from the office. It's available on YouTube as well. And it was a more detailed teaching on spirit, soul, body. And I went through all the scriptures. That's the biggest thing, is that you need to get those scriptures in you. Take that time, hear from the Lord, all of those things for yourself, amen? It's one thing to come to church and hear from the preacher, which is vital, it's important. It's a vital part of your Christian faith and Christianity. How many know it's a whole nother thing when the Lord speaks to you himself? Amen? And his primary voice, listen to me, is this. I'm going to say this. It's the written word before anything else. Well, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes. And the Holy Spirit is here to glorify Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. Okay? Now, we're a Spirit-filled church. We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. I've had some spectacular experiences, but you know what has stabilized me more than anything? Do you know I don't need to see Jesus in an open vision to know I'm saved? I got it. Amen? I know that I know. And part of the way that has come about is through from 1996 when I got saved till 2024 today, I've been feeding on, amen? And I've had the Lord visit me in dreams. I've had all that stuff happen, okay? So I'm not against that. I'm just saying this first, okay? Because the spirit world is real. And the enemy is a counterfeit. And don't doubt he isn't good at it. He's very good at it. He presents himself as an angel of, I thought it was a red guy with a pitchfork. All right, praise the Lord, righteousness, glory to God. Let's go through it. Let's give you a little bit of definition here, and then we'll get right into why we need righteousness. Righteousness is the state of being right or justified. This is the ability to stand in the presence of God the Father without the sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed. It is right standing with God. It is uprightness. One word that's used for righteousness, and you can interchange them, is justified. Justified. Justified in the Greek means innocent, guiltless, and acceptable. Innocent, guiltless, and acceptable. So how many here are born again? You're born again by you've received Jesus, okay? That means, according to the scriptures, that you are innocent, guiltless, and acceptable in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? Boy, I tell you, you get a hold of righteousness, it'll really help your faith in strengthening your faith, okay? So righteousness is perfect unity with God through Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to talk about sin this morning and the universality of sin, if that's a word, the universal state of sin within humanity without Christ. There are two ditches that Christians get into. One ditch is, I have to get born again every time I sin, after I'm saved, okay? The other ditch is, I never have to ask for or confess sin and receive forgiveness, according to 1 John 1:9. There's two sides to this. And the reality is, the truth is in the middle somewhere, amen? It's never just, the enemy always wants to push us to extremes, because then he can make our faith ineffective. And he can stop spiritual growth within your life, which is his main goal, all right? His main goal is to stop spiritual growth and get you to heaven before you're supposed to be there, all right? The reason why is because now that you're born again, you're a threat to him. You know, you should walk around and go, I'm a threat to the enemy. You should think that way. Because the Lord said you are according to the authority that you have in Jesus' name, okay? You are a threat to the enemy. The enemy is more scared of you than you are of him. You just may not realize it. And the reason why is not because you weightlift. It has nothing to do with your physical position or status. It has everything to do with your spiritual position and status. Okay? So you need to realize that. So you are in perfect unity with God through Christ Jesus. This very statement offends the religious and the legalistic mind. It totally does. Believers who do not understand biblical righteousness will think the believer who does is making light of sin. Righteousness consciousness, in other words, you're aware of your righteousness and you're walking in it, will produce more holiness in the life of a believer than sin consciousness will. Because you will see, when you're walking in light, how many know you see when darkness is coming? All right? So it's going to help you to know a lot about your righteousness, okay? And so righteousness or being righteous means that we are in a place where the claims of God, which was basically the law, have been fulfilled. All right? So God's claims against humanity prior to Christ were that he was perfect and we were not, correct? Okay? And so what righteousness does is it fulfills that claim, and then by transmission or by exchange, you take Jesus Christ's righteousness. He took your death, destruction, and sin nature. Amen. All right? So righteousness, and you need to know this, is not a feeling. It is a position. Now, Pentecostals love feelings. Ooh, we feel God. Oh, if God's moved. Oh, I feel him. Ooh, I'm all for the feels. I've laughed, rolled, felt God with the best of them. You know what I mean by that? I've had the feeling. But if you're going to live day-to-day in stability, you've got to establish an understanding of the positional truth that you have in the Spirit, which then living from that place of stability, which is the written word of God, and having that understanding gives you the ability to walk in the temporal in a stable way. Or, as the scripture says, you walk in the Spirit, not by the flesh. Now, when the feels of God are in the room and you feel him and you got the goosebumps double parked, man, enjoy every second of it. Because chances are good it's going to lift by the time you get into your car in the parking lot or on the street or wherever you're parked around here. Okay? It's going to lift, all right? So you need to be aware of that. Righteousness understanding gives us stability, okay? So point two here in this series, we're going to cover this, the need for righteousness and how it is attained. And obviously, with the time constraints, with honoring the students and stuff like that, we're not going to be able to get all the way through this, but I want to get through this first part. The need for righteousness and how it is attained. All right, if you're taking notes, understand this. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, through Romans chapter 3, verse 20, informs us of the divine indictment on sinful humanity. How many have ever read Romans and went, what? Okay, it's actually a lot simpler than you think. And then you realize. But Romans chapter 1, verse 18, through Romans chapter 3, verse 20, basically, in a nutshell, it puts every person at odds with God because of sin. Okay? And I'm going to prove it to you. Then Romans chapter 3, verse 21, through Romans chapter 5, verse 21, informs us of the divine plan of salvation for humanity. Okay? So the theologians love Romans because it's like, there's so much there on the doctrine of salvation. But the breakdown of those first five chapters falls within those boundaries, all right? And then everything else after that is great too, but we're not going to go into that, all right? We're going to get into this first part here. So we're in point number two, the need for righteousness and how it is attained. So we're going to answer the first part of this question or statement today, the need for righteousness. All right. Why do we need righteousness through Christ? That is the question that we are answering. And the answer to this question is that all of humanity is under the power of sin without Christ. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Okay. And you're going to see this. All of humanity is under the power of sin without Christ. So why do we need righteousness in Christ? Because everybody outside of Christ is under sin. Actually, you're born into it. That's why you have to get born. If you don't like the first way you were born, do it again. Amen. Right? Get born again. All right? That will help you. That will help you with that sin nature. So this truth is presented to us in the book of Romans, that all humanity is under sin. And we see it in Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. And what we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, it says this: it proved that the Gentiles were guilty before God for their actions because of an instinctive knowledge of God. So Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32 proves that all Gentiles are sinners. Now, how many know what that means? I'm going to make this easy for you. All Gentiles is everybody who's not a Jew. So I don't care what your background is. If it's European, it doesn't matter where you're from. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Okay? So Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32 did what? It actually placed or showed that all of humanity outside the Jewish culture was under sin. And Paul did that on purpose. And he made people say, well, what if they weren't raised with the law? I know. But what he said was this, and this is what he proved, and this is what is stated in Roman in that chapter. It says this: the knowability of God is manifest in all of humanity. You would call it, or you would hear it called this today. Don't you think that everything is designed so well, so there's got to be a designer? If you read Romans chapter 1, you'll see that Paul argues that humanity ignores the creation in sin and chooses darkness over light. In other words, all of creation is God going, I'm here. Look at me. Down to the way that you're made. I'll put it this way. There will be nobody ever, never has been, never will be, who will stand before God and go, I didn't know you were real. Nobody will do that. Now, people on this side of judgment and this side of seeing God will go, well, he's not real. But they know inside of them, he's real. Well, you can sear a piece of steak until you can't taste it. Well, you can sear your conscience until you don't hear the voice of God speaking to you or see him around you anymore. You can embrace darkness to such a degree that it totally absorbs you. All right, so we see that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, the knowability of God. In Romans chapter 2, Paul deals with the Jews. You know, Romans chapter 2 was written to it's written to all of us. It was written to the Jews. In Romans chapter 2, Paul deals with the Jews and reveals to them that they are in even a stronger place of judgment because they had the advantage of knowing God's law but still rejected his salvation. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 2. You know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, all the Jews are saved. They are not. Well, God's not going to break his covenant with them. What do you mean by that? His natural covenant? Yes. If they break the spiritual one, they broke it. Nobody was harder on the Jews than Jesus was. It's true. And I know there's confusion about these things, but again, we cannot just take what somebody says on YouTube without taking it back to and actually studying. Have you ever felt really strongly about something and then actually talked to somebody who knew the subject? Yeah. Have you ever felt, now everybody has probably done this, but you're like, this is it. You feel strongly about it. And then you talk to somebody who has looked into it in depth, and they've looked and studied and gained knowledge about the subject from the perspectives that are available in analyzing and taking in truth. And then when you talk to them, they present things, and then the thing you feel so strongly about, all of a sudden, you don't feel as strongly as you did before. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Do you know that happens all the time on social media? Did you know one statement in a meme or a 30 or 60 second short or reel is not enough information to you for you to go off of? You've got to dig deeper. That's why when we do our shorts and stuff, we tag the message in the video, so you can go back and watch to find context for what you believe. Well, what do we know here from these two particular passages? And we are not going to get very far on this. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to read a little bit more to you. And then next week, what we're going to do is, I get to preach next week, right? Yeah, okay. We're going to go to Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 20, and I'm going to prove to you from the Apostle Paul that all of humanity is condemned under sin without Christ. And this passage, I've read several commentaries on it, but they say that this passage was the only place where Paul used so many Old Testament scriptures to prove his point. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Paul used 10 Old Testament passages to prove that all of humanity outside of Christ was under sin. Now, why do you keep saying outside of Christ? Because once you're in Christ, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's impossible. You're either a sinner or you're... Hello. This is some of the stuff we got to look at. Because people think, well, they'll walk around and they think they're being humble, but actually they're being spiritually prideful. And they think they have a doctrine to back it up, but they don't. If you read the first part of Romans and you just get an understanding of sin consciousness and you don't ever develop a righteousness consciousness, you'll go to heaven when you die but be defeated while you're here. Ooh, I need to say it again. You have the ability, once you're born again, to live in victory over your enemy, over your mind, and over your body. But there is positional truth and there is temporal truth. Positional truth is an absolute in the spirit. Temporal truth is what we apply out of the reality of who we are in Christ through to the transformation of our thinking, and then the dominance of our members, as the Bible calls it, which is your physical body. Now, I want to encourage you with this, and we're going to wrap this up. Pastor Joy, you can come. We're going to wrap this up, but and I want to give people an opportunity to receive Christ if you haven't. But I want to encourage you with this. Go back and watch Righteousness Part 3A. It's 30 minutes this next week. Pick a time. And study with me spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, the subject of spirit, soul, and body is vital to our victory manifesting that we have in the spirit. Now, people underestimate this, but if you read through this, those of you that have been saved a long time, those of you that have been saved a short time, but those of you that have been saved a long time, you know this. If you've studied through the epistles and you've done it for years, Paul and the others consistently deal with the mind of the believer and the body of the believer. Positional truth is the reality of it is fully accomplished when you're born again. You received everything you need in the spirit. You are beautiful or handsome. I mean, perfect. Oh man, come on, believe with me. Who do you think you received a marred Jesus? Oh no, you received the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That means when Christ came up out of that grave, every single plan, plot, stain, dysfunction, wickedness, evil of the enemy was completely paid for and overcome. I mean, you should see yourself in the spirit. You are beautiful. You are handsome. You are, the Bible says, sealed with the Holy Ghost. Do you know what that word sealed means? It's like vacuum sealed. Well, that was fun. Do you see it? Now, if I can get you, or if the Lord, through your cooperation and through all the things that he set up in the body of Christ, if he can get us to cooperate with the reality of what he said, there'll be a transformation that takes place here. Come on, you're not who you used to be. Come on, I'm not Sean McFarland graduate, 2.47 grade point average, pot smoker, drunk, fornicator, addicted to this, addicted to, that's not who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the healed of the Lord. I am blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And I am because he is. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on, I'm Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Yes. Amen. I didn't say it. I mean, I just said it, but he said it. Will you accept what he said? Will you take what he said and put it in your mouth? Will you take what he said and declare it all week long? Because when you do that, it begins to transform the way you think, bring stability and peace, and you begin to, and you are, releasing the power of the resurrection into your daily life. I wish people understood. I know they are. We're getting it. Somebody say, we're getting it. We're getting it around here. Stronger and stronger all the time. I won't believe the lies of the enemy. I won't believe where the church is going under. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And it's not going to be one preacher that takes over everything. It's going to be the body of Christ moving in lockstep order in their places, arm in arm, like the mighty men of David, men and women with stout hearts in the spirit that don't break rank. Amen? That's how it happens.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.